All right. I love that song. I'm glad that Mercy walked in, aren't you? I'm glad I did not give what I deserved. God's been so good. Tonight, again, we're going to take the opportunity to interview a couple of our couples in the church. And so, Brother Miss Lasseter, if you can come make your way up here, and Brother Clovis, Miss Judy. And again, in Ephesians chapter 5, and as Brother Weatherby used these verses as well, it talks about the family and about the husband and wife relationship. And we'll spend some time in that after we ask a few questions of our panelists. Don't like being on the spot? No, you're good.
I just want to know, will you be available for counseling after?
I will. I'll counsel them afterwards, or they can counsel me afterwards. And are we going to be able to put them up on the screen? Probably not. I know that some of you, it's going to be hard for you to see. You're going to be blocked by the pulpit. No. We were trying to put them up on the screen, but they may not want to be on TV. No. There we go. Maybe we don't want to mess with anything. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. No, it wasn't you.
I know it. I wasn't going to touch the button.
That was on purpose.
Believe me, you can always hear me.
All right. Yeah, we're going to find out who wins at the end of this. Brother Lasseter, how long y'all been married?
62 years, 9 months, and 11 days.
62 years, right? So, yeah, I think that, amen, good. Either one of you. Brother Clovis, how long y'all been married?
60 years.
Forever. 60 years. Those are pretty good mics, so if they actually held it up a little bit, they're non-directional. But we do, if you would hold them up so that they can hear, somebody who may be online can hear. So the Hales have been married right at 60 years. In fact, they just had their 60-year celebration, and it was good. It was awesome. And the Lasseter's 62 years. That's amazing. Brother Lasseter, when and where did you guys meet?
We met in Peekskill, New York. January the 3rd, and the way that all transpired is I was stationed at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, and a friend of mine went there a year ahead of me, and at a Thanksgiving deal there on post, he introduced me to a young lady that he was going with who happened to be one of her sorority sisters, and so...
Yes.
I had one blind date in my life at college, a sorority sister. This sorority sister fixed it up, and I said, never, never, never again. So guess who called me after we graduated from college? The same girl. She said, I'm engaged to a soldier from Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, and he's from Texas. And we had a long conversation of no, 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 no. And finally I thought, well, I've never met anybody from Texas. So we met January the 3rd and got married May the 9th.
You weren't supposed to tell them.
That's awesome. That's tremendous. Brother Clovis, where did y'all meet at? And you can, that's perfect.
Okay, she did it. Can I do
that? Yes, absolutely.
We met at the University Baptist Church in Austin, Texas.
So y'all met in church, University Baptist Church in Austin, Texas.
Oh, yes, but can I say something?
Yes.
We met at church, but he was in the choir and I was out in the congregation, and it was very, very crowded out there. There was no room for anybody else to sit, really. And when I walked in and sat down, then every Sunday when I would I'd be there, and he'd be in the choir. He would go, just like the old typewriter.
Yeah.
Every row until he got to me, and then he would make eyes at me then all during church, because the choir had to stay up here. And he told me later on.
That's right.
We had a double date, and I went with his roommate, and he went with some nurse. And so, they went back and they to the room and they flipped for me. And he lost.
He lost. Got you. He lost, but he got you. It's kind of like Monday night, my wife and I were deciding whether to go to a Valentine meal or not. It was 4:30, and we said, well, we can go to Texas Roadhouse. And we said, maybe just we'll go home. I said, well, let's flip a coin. We've never done that. We flipped a quarter, and it actually landed on heads. So we drove to Texas Roadhouse, and there was a 45-minute wait. We decided not to go. We had AHA, had pancakes.
Y'all know Judy, she exaggerates.
Yeah, Miss Judy exaggerates. I'm not sure about that.
It didn't happen that way.
You were making eyes from
that part,
at the choir.
That part was right.
See? Duh.
But you didn't flip the coin, or?
No.
No? Okay.
He told me he did.
I'm gonna believe Miss Judy.
He told me he did.
That's awesome. Brother Laster, what's something you both enjoy doing together?
Well, at this stage of our lives, we like listening to music, CD music. Typically, it's Christian music, but there's a season, so we listen to Christmas music too. But it's by good groups, and we help each other around the house. I help her cook and so forth, and she encourages me, get that over there. And and then we like to go on. Typically, there are two trips that we like to go on. We like to go look at the fall leaves in the fall, and then in the spring we like to go look at the bluebonnets. And I got me two lookouts, Kelly Clark and
Brother Mosley. Brother Mosley.
Yeah, Brother Mosley. I don't see him in here tonight. And so I call him and say, are the bluebonnets out, and are Kelly, and yeah, they're out. And so we pick a Saturday or a Friday or whatever. And typically it's a Saturday, and we go up just about as far as their place. Or not quite that far, maybe. But we go look at the bluebonnets.
Blue bonnets, right.
And then we like watching some sports, and not all sports.
But I think the things you've named right there is things that don't cost a whole lot.
No.
I
mean,
we used to travel a lot.
Yeah, I remember
that.
You talked
to them. We took trips a lot. Yeah. So we can't do that anymore.
Right.
When I was working, I accumulated thousands of airline miles.
Yeah.
And so whenever I, not even before I retired, but we started taking some trips before I retired, using those airline miles and so.
Enjoy taking trips together.
Yeah.
We've been in every state in the continental U.S. except Nebraska.
Who wants to go there? Anybody here from Nebraska? Oh, really? Nobody's from there, are they? Yeah, that's a good place to be from. Get to Texas as quick as you can. All right, Brother Hill, what are some things you enjoy doing together?
We like to go out to dinner, and we like to go hiking, we like to go to museums, we like to go to the zoo, the botanical garden.
Fort Worth has a good botanical garden. Mm-hmm. Been down there.
Yeah.
I enjoy eating as well. I can see that you enjoy it as well.
Nowadays we usually go in the morning or at noon or in the afternoon, not at night.
Right, yeah, to avoid the crowd.
But we have a domino game going.
I've heard about that domino game.
And we go to 10 games, and right now we're 4-all, right?
No, you're ahead of me.
Oh, good. And, forgot I was ahead. Okay, I'm ahead. And,
so a continual domino game.
We try to play one game a day to keep our minds going.
Yeah.
And it's a real tight game. He doesn't like to lose.
Yeah.
Neither do I.
So what you're saying is the young couples here could pick out a game on, you know, I don't know, PlayStation 7. And they could start a game and continue to play that game every day. I know there's no 7. I'm just messing with you. But again, just that time spent together, right? Time spent together and enjoying that time spent together, whether it's taking trips or whether it's watching sports with your husband every once in a while, even though you may have to make yourself do that some, to, you know, simply going to supper or going to lunch or whatever it may be. And again, I think those times too, making sure that when you do go to Texas Roadhouse or you go somewhere to eat, that you spend time talking to each other and not on your phone for 45 minutes. It's important. You're talking about quality time, spending quality time together. All right? So that kind of lends itself to the next question. I won't ask it, but what is your favorite date night? That would kind of, do you have something there? But
well, we quit going out at night.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So your favorite date then?
Favorite date time is Fridays typically.
Friday lunch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you have a specific day or you guys, you have a particular, pretty well already
no,
said
it's
it,
pretty random.
Yeah. Pretty random, yeah.
Pretty random.
But I would think for the young couples here, for most couples here, picking a day. My wife and I used to be Monday nights, and we've recently reinstituted that, taking Monday nights. And we've actually tried some new restaurants, just randomly go to a new restaurant and see what it's like. And so far, we've really not liked the couple of restaurants we've been to. So we may end up back to our old places where we normally go, but we've tried a few things different. But taking a night, make sure, find somebody to keep the kids, somebody to do that. Take that time with your spouse to take a date night. Brother Lester, what's your favorite thing? Or what's your favorite thing about each other? Do you have a favorite thing?
Well, we're both probably of the same mind, so to speak. We feel like the Lord put us together because I'm from Texas and she's from New York, you know, and
we think God has a sense of humor.
Absolutely. And so, you know, we're of the same mind, and so she has a big heart.
Absolutely.
And I try to be a help to people. Whatever I feel like I can help with, you know. Sometimes I'm probably in the way more than I'm a help, but I learn something. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
But no, I like helping people, she encourages me in that, and I just appreciate her more and more. Amen. Simply because of who she is and everything that she's been to me and to our family. And
amen.
Yeah.
Same for you.
Brother Clovis, kind of the same question. You have something, Miss Judy, that you particularly like about each other?
One thing. If I had to pick.
Only one. That's good.
One
Go ahead, Brother Clovis.
It would be her cooking.
Her cooking, yes. Absolutely.
Well, that's the reason he asked me to marry
her. Because of cooking.
We had a date, and we went home. We went back to my girlfriend's apartment, which I was living with her, we were hungry, and I ran in the kitchen, and thank goodness for pressure cookers. I threw steak, potatoes, and gravy, everything in there, and then served it to him, and he proposed.
He proposed. Cooking, then.
But there is one other thing.
Not the same day.
Not the same day.
Well, what I like about him?
Yeah.
What I like about him is that I can always go to him and get answers, and we can talk something over and talk something out. You know how fast I talk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just like Brother Weatherby said, you know, it's, what is it?
24,000 words a day.
That's right.
The woman speaks and 12,000
yes.
The men speak.
Okay.
I think Brother Clovis is only like 5,000.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Probably.
And so I talk fast, and so people ask me a question, I answer real quickly, and then I think about it, and then I have to apologize. Okay. But he doesn't.
That's right.
He thinks about it, yep. And thinks about it, yeah. And then I forget the question that I asked, and then he comes in and answers it, yep. Later on. And
that's
I
right.
said, what did I ask you? And so, you know,
but
he's always there. But he has a two-step, and mine's a three-step.
Three-step, that's right, yeah. So just the yeah. ability again for Brother Clovis, who does take his time to answer.
He does. He thinks about it.
He thinks about it, and that's
and
a wise
speaks,
thing.
And I speak, and then I right. think about it. Yeah. And then I apologize.
If you haven't already caught it yet, absolutely, these two couples are a perfect example of completing each other, right? One's, and I hope you guys are okay with me saying it, one's a little quieter than the other, one's a little more laid back than the other, and it's amazing. My wife and I are the same way. We complete each other. One, I'm a little laid back, she's a little more whatever, and then we complete each other. I'm gonna get in trouble, so. Brother Lasser, I do wanna just chime in and say, we was talking about food. You sure you didn't marry her for a banana pudding?
Yeah.
He cuts the bananas up.
He cuts the bananas up. Okay. He helps.
It's one of them.
Yeah, I understand. Miss Bernie makes good banana pudding. This ought to be interesting. What is the worst gift you've gotten from each other?
Well, you know, we thought about that question. And in all seriousness, we couldn't think of a worse gift. We did like everybody else, I'm sure, that, you know, whenever you have kids, you provide for them. And if there's anything left over, you do for that.
Sure. Right.
And then do for each other. And then as we became more active in our church, there were people in the church who saw a need for other folks that weren't doing so well. Yeah. And so they had a Christmas tree and put little Christmas trees on there with names on it. Sometimes it was a family, sometimes it would be the children of a family or whatever. But you get the idea.
Yeah, right. Like an angel tree.
So we talked about that and decided, okay, that's a good ministry. And so we stopped at that time. We stopped giving ourselves anything at Christmas time, yeah. And started taking on part of that ministry.
That's great.
And then, of course, we left that church and changed churches and moved and all that and so forth. And things changed, but
a great idea.
You know, but at that time, we just literally stopped giving each other.
Sure.
Because most times, folks go get what they need when they need it.
That's what I've told my wife, too. I mean, we if you need something, go get it.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Christmas time and all these times, it's
and there are other people that need.
That's great. You have something that you worst, spent, you know, a lot of times early on in marriage, too, you know, things happen.
I would like to know his answer.
We didn't discuss it.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
We didn't discuss ours.
I think it's a chocolate candy.
Chocolate candy?
She knows I have a sweet tooth, and she knows I like chocolate candy.
It says the worst. Worst gift. That's not the worst.
And anyway, it's not good for me, but I love it.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
I have one.
Oh, you have one? Good.
I have one. He gave me two bricks for Christmas one time.
Yeah.
Two bricks. I mean bricks. And the thing about it was we said, okay, we'll get each other one Christmas. It was our first Christmas, you know, after the honeymoon was over that year. And then, you know, from that on, I guess anything went. But we get one gift, okay. So I put my gift on the tree for him, and he put three.
Yeah.
And I could not understand that. I thought, well, that's not right. He's got me three gifts. So I took the money we had for food, and I went out and bought him two more gifts because we were broke.
Oh, no.
That was our first Christmas.
Yeah.
And so we come back home, and his were so pretty wrapped and everything, and mine was under there. And so we opened them the next morning, and I opened up one gift, and it was a brick. It was a...
Yeah, literal house
it
brick.
It was a
yeah.
brick, and I thought he was very brave because I was
sitting... It was heavy, too.
It
yeah.
was heavy, and I was sitting beside him,
you're gonna
spoil and he
that.
Gave me a brick,
yeah.
and I thought, you know, I could, you know, do that for him. So I thought, well, okay. So then I opened up the second gift, and it was another brick.
Yeah.
And that's when I learned we didn't have a gun in the house. But then I finally opened up the third grade. I mean, by then.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, the divorce court was open. And I opened up the box, and there was a beautiful pair of red shoes.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
he knew I wanted. Yeah. But he got three gifts, and I only got two.
You only got two.
Two shoes, but one gift.
The moral of the story is be careful that yeah. you don't give your wife a brick
yeah.
and stay in close proximity to each other.
Only him would do that.
Yeah. Our first Christmas, I've said this publicly before, our first Christmas, we were at Nakona, and I went to the dollar store, which was Bill's back then. It wasn't really called the dollar store, it was called Bill's. And I bought her a pair of a sweat pant outfit, like sweat bottoms and sweat top. They were green. The problem is they weren't the same color green. It was awesome. Oh, yeah, that's right. The church knows about that one. I went to the Tractor Supply one time, and we were doing something. I said, I still haven't got her a gift yet. I bought her a big umbrella. That was a Christmas Eve, yeah, Christmas Eve. Umbrella.
You're a Christmas Eve shopper, too.
I'm a Christmas Eve shopper, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, most of the time. Okay, so the moral of the story is, I've gotten better.
So is Clovis.
And so is Brother Clovis. Be careful, men, about, you know, when you give gifts, make sure they're not like, yeah, bricks or a toaster or umbrella. Get her something with some thought behind it. Mm-hmm. You know what? Amazon saves us all. It really does. That's what I did this time. Just order it on Amazon, have it shipped to the house. You're done. There was thought behind the bricks. No, there was. Behind the bricks was
what
to make
was
her
the
think she had three
gifts. The bricks?
It was to make her think she had three gifts, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's only one brick.
There was only one
no,
brick. She told the story wrong.
The shoes, the shoes were in two different boxes.
Oh, there was one shoe
there
in each box.
There was
two
bricks.
There was two. I think Brother Clovis has gotten old enough now.
I'm younger than he is.
All that. Okay, we'll move on.
And you will be available for marriage.
I will, absolutely. Miss Linda Smith is sick tonight, but she's available as well. Let's see. What is, Brother Lasser, what is something you've grown to appreciate about your spouse?
If it's possible to say I love her more now than I loved her when I asked her to marry me.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she's always there for me. And I try to do the same for her. She thinks about things that we've talked about sometimes, and she'll come back to me and say, what would you think? In other words, she's maybe thought about it a lot more than I have.
Yes, yeah.
And comes back and we regurgitate it again. And I'll have to say that...
he's an engineer.
Yep. Don't forget, Brother Lassler's an engineer, so yeah.
So
methodical.
So she has good ideas, I'll just say that. And it pays to be attentive.
Absolutely.
It really does.
Miss Bernie, you want to chime in? Good?
He's a godly man. He's a wonderful father, grandfather, great-grandfather, friend. I know when he had his business. He was a partner in a consulting engineering firm, and anyone who had a problem went to him.
Yeah. Well, I've done that many times too. When it comes to buildings, I have gone to Brother Laster many times.
But this was personal problems.
I understand that. Okay. Wise man. Brother Clovis?
What's the question?
What's something you've grown to appreciate about your spouse?
Okay. Judy has an instinctive ability to make the people feel welcome and at home, and I appreciate that. I don't have that ability.
Yeah, we know that. By the way, Brother Clovis and I pick on each other. He picks back, and I appreciate that. But I do appreciate him and love him. But Miss Judy is the life of the party, there's no doubt.
I don't know, but what I liked about it, well, when I was wanting to get, I didn't say I didn't think I was wanting to get married, but I'd always prayed for a husband, and I had four things that I prayed for. One was that he was a godly man, he loved the Lord, and that he was saved. And number two, I prayed that he didn't drink, because I had an alcoholic father, and so I'd already been through all that, and I didn't want that, so he didn't drink. And I didn't want anybody, didn't want him smoking, so he didn't smoke. And I really, you know, thought that was great, because I got tired of getting out of the car with Dad smoking, and you know, you just stink. And then that he would love us and take care of me and take care of the kids, and he did that. And God just answered that prayer, and he just gave it everything. And if I'd known that he was going to be so good, I would have had rich.
Yeah. No.
But I left out one. Four out of five is not bad.
Your prayers were answered. Had you put the fifth one in there, it might have been answered too.
That's right.
I like that. That was good. So all you out here that are still single, just make sure you add the fifth one. Rich. Just any advice about keeping the home spiritual, whether it's a devotional time or time together with the kids, any advice on that for our couples?
Well, it's something that you can't do without. All right, and you shouldn't try?
Yeah.
Not to promote any books, but this little book right here has got 1,000 promises that God's given us. They're all here.
Right.
But this is alphabetized, and so if you want to find something in a hurry, it's in here. But it gives you
the
scripture, chapter and verse. And the thing is to make a time for it. And with our lives as the way they are now, especially now, more so than when we first got married, we're pulled in all different directions because of the world. But if you set a time and you can't make it, then come back to it later on, but at least do it. And don't do without it, because it's all we have to hold on to.
That's right. Good. Brother Clovis, kind of the same line, just keeping your home, you know, going in a spiritual direction, whether it's family devotion, whether it's individual devotion to life, whatever, what some suggestions you might have?
Well, one of the basics of the Christian life is personal devotions. Reading the Bible every day and having prayer every day, and, you know, finding a time to do that. And so
just being consistent in it.
Be consistent in it, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, with children, you know, you keep it short with them for our family devotion. When we had four children, and on their level, and incorporate them into it. Yeah. Let them comment on what you're talking about and saying that we tried to do that. And we'd have little plays, you know, sometime for her devotion.
Right. I think for our family, too. And it ebbs and flows. Some, you know, you're pretty consistent, and then you maybe get off it for a while and get back. The main thing is always come back. Always come back. Keep it consistent. I know one family I was counseling with said, you know, we took 30 minutes for our family devotion. I'm just telling you, that's too long for little kids.
Yeah.
If you'll take, you know, 10 minutes, whatever it is, and as Ms. Judy was saying, and again, being consistent with it, whether it's the promises of the Bible, that's what that little book he was showing. There's all sorts of resources you can do. I think at the back we may have some, but Clarence Sexton actually has some individual pamphlets of the Bible stories for family devotion. That's what we used many times. We've also used Paul Chappell's devotionals, just reading through those as our kids got older, and reading the scripture, of course, but also using those devotional times. We did it at breakfast time. That's the way my dad did it, too, when we were growing up. We did it at breakfast time. And again, we weren't always perfect at it. We weren't always, we'd always have to, you know, reestablish it. When you get out of the habit, go back, reestablish it. So don't ever give up. Just keep going back, and keep at it. So, so important. All right. How did you help each other when you went through tough times?
We didn't have family near us. We had some challenging times when we first got married. We didn't have any money. When he got out of the service, he didn't have a job. We came to Texas. I was expecting our first child, and he had no job, no money. And so we didn't have any family near us, but it was always God and us.
Amen.
All the time. When we always felt like when we first met each other that we were supposed to be together. And I think that strengthened us by not having family around. I mean, we had to stand on our own 2 feet, but we always went to God. And we looked back, and we can see God all through our lives.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, there were bumpy times. There were challenges. Sometimes we made a wrong turn, but he always got us back on track.
Yeah. Amen.
And I'd like to add one thing. You know, when you have kids and they get sick and you take them to a doctor, and the doctors then, if you paid something every month on the bill, they didn't care how many times you brought the kids in.
Right.
So you had people then, the world was a little different, and you had people then that would let you ride their pocketbook, so to speak, until you could catch up. And if you paid them for 3 months and your kids didn't have to go in and see them, well, there wasn't any more bills, and so you were catching up, and then you'd wind up going behind. So, again, people worked with you then.
Yeah.
Not so today.
Yeah. I would tell you that my wife and I have had medical bills up until the last 2 or 3 years. We were making payments on medical bills every month our entire marriage, since the time we've had kids. So I just tell young couples, I tell them all the time, so don't let medical bills run your life. Pay on them. You need to pay your debts, but don't let them run your life. Just keep paying them out. Keep paying them out. Just make it part of your budget. You got little kids, guess what? You're going to have medical bills. And just pay them out. Still take a vacation and pay the dentist. You know, you may have to pay the dentist over 12 months, we had to get one of them care credit cards they have now and all those things. There's options there, but you're right. It was different back in the day. Back in the day, if you send them $10, they say, okay, well, let's do it again. So it is a little different now. Again, through tough times, what's something that you guys...
Well, I can't say that we really had tough times. I was laid off for a year and a half. And before I got laid off, I told Judy she's probably going to have to go to work. And so she did, and she made the money, and we had our savings and made it all right. Then I got a job.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, there are other kinds of tough times.
Sure, mm-hmm. No, yeah. And that's what they were talking about with God being there for
yeah.
you and...
And we, mm-hmm. be that we're there for each other, and that's the important thing.
Yeah.
Being there and listening and, you know, understanding what the issue is, and, you know.
It's kind of like the, at our anniversary, you know, we got the mountains in our lives and we got the valleys in our lives, and the valleys make us stronger and closer to the Lord. And how people go through the valleys in their lives and not know the Lord, I just don't know how they do it.
I totally agree.
Amen.
And it's just, you know, it's amazing to me. I have a little thing in my book that says, there's no hole deep enough that God is not there.
Right.
And I always think about that. No matter how low we get in our lives, God is always there with us.
Amen.
And that's what I always hold on to.
Right. Good.
May I say something?
Yes.
We found out that when God told us no, we hung in there because we knew he had a better plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So don't get discouraged if he tells you no. Just hang in there.
Almost done. So the importance of church with your family.
Yeah.
Well, it's an absolute necessity. When we first got married and everything, we went to a small church in Eatontown, New Jersey.
He's in a hurry.
Oh, Red Bank? Okay, now I'm talking slow. Huh? Okay. Red Bank, New Jersey.
Right.
And the pastor was an Irish speaking, and he had a brogue, and he could bring you to tears. And so that's where we started going to the Presbyterian Church, and we tried to stay there. And I could tell you a story, but the Lord would laugh at it.
Yeah.
And eventually we wound up in the Baptist Church.
With Pastor Dr.
Johnny Pope. Yeah.
In Houston.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny Pope in Houston, Texas. Mm-hmm. It's a great church.
We got baptized there.
Yeah,
because before we were just
sprinkled.
Sprinkled.
<Yeah.
laughs> Anyway, he's in a hurry. That's good.
I'll give you guys the same question. Importance of church.
Importance of church.
In the family.
In the family. Well, I shared this with my kids at our anniversary, but I had asked Judy before we were married that I'd told her that I would like to go to church the Sunday after our wedding to start our marriage off putting God first. So she agreed. In fact, she found us a church through her girlfriend that she was living with. And so that's what we did. But, I'm sharing some of these things not to bring your attention to me, but just to share what we did, and maybe it'll help you. But when I was in the Air Force, you know, we'd moved around a lot and changed towns and so forth, and so we weren't in a church very long. So we made it a point to find a church quick, and
right.
So we visited churches pretty intensely, looking for and getting advice from trusted people who had lived there or knew, you know. And we'd even go and sit in our children's Sunday school classes to see what they were being taught.
Good.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that was, you know, the teacher probably made the teacher nervous, but we did it. And so we would join a church pretty quick after changing stations, because we knew that we would not be there very long.
But also in traveling, we were up in upstate New York for 3 years, and you'd have to come home to see the parents in Texas. That's a long way. Yeah. And so sometimes we would stop and go to church, just randomly, and at a Baptist church. And sometimes we'd have church in the car.
Yeah.
So you can always have church,
right?
You know. And so that's, we love that.
So the last question, and I kind of know y'all's answer because I know the answer you gave at your 60th anniversary. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give in marriage? What has made the 60 years?
Perseverance.
Give me the same answers you gave at the 60th anniversary.
I don't remember what my answer was.
Well, you've already actually stated it.
Yeah.
But I'd say be ready to say I'm sorry.
Yeah. So your advice to your kids was what?
Even if you don't think you're at fault.
Right.
That was mine. That's not what you said.
Y'all switched. Yeah. It's okay, though.
Yeah, okay.
You said
okay
the other one.
I'm just
well,
having forgiveness, you know, it's okay to have disagreements and everything because it's a lot of fun to make up. But when you have disagreements, you know, sometimes that's a very hard on the marriage. And so if it's not something that you're going to cause somebody to die or something, you know, don't fight.
Right.
But I say that, but we do good bit, but we make up a lot too.
So you would say
the
advice would be to stay married this long is forgiveness. And you see that a lot from other couples, forgiveness. And Brother Clovis, I'll tell the answer that you gave at the 60th anniversary, which is to put God first.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that a moment ago, is put God first. And to me, that is it. I mean, if you put God first in your marriage and you're willing to forgive your spouse, that is the secret to a long marriage.
Don't go to bed, Nick.
Well, when we first got married and we were talking one night and everything, I asked her, I said, we need to promise something to each other. And she's saying, okay, tell me what it is. And I said, well, let's don't ever go to bed mad, and let's don't ever go to work mad.
Yeah.
And so you've got to be able to say that you're sorry. And you can't do that unless you have something here. And who you have here enables you to do that.
Right.
And there isn't anything. Worth arguing about if it destroys what you have together.
Right. That's good. Mm-hmm. Again, along that same line of forgiveness.
Yeah. So. You gotta say I'm sorry and be willing to do it and mean it and then forget it.
Right.
Because that's what the Lord does. Yeah.
When we
go to Him.
Right. Following His steps. Yeah. Right. Very close.
Merritt. People that are married know this, that the disagreements and whatnot occur in the marriage. You young people that aren't married yet may not know this, but I can tell you that those things are inevitable, so you got to be prepared to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Right. It is inevitable. You will have a disagreement in marriage, absolutely. And then being willing to forgive. And I told you, Brother Ivy, some of y'all know Brother Frank Ivy, whenever Miss Pat died, I said, Brother Ivy, you know what, how did you guys stay, you know, married so long? He said, we never went to bed mad at each other.
Yeah.
He said, we made that agreement. So what Brother Laster was saying, not going to bed mad. The Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And so in marriage, you ought to forgive every evening. I love that also. You said, you know, before you head off to work.
Yeah.
It would be a tragedy, you know, if you went off to work and something happened and you weren't right with each other and having those things. Very, very, very good. We appreciate both of you very much, both couples. Thank you all very much. We need to get some rails. Somebody's made some. We just haven't got them put up yet. Well, as you can tell, the time is out of time. I was just really wanting to see how things went and whether or not we would take the entire service. I feel like it was definitely justified, don't y'all? Very good. And preaching is paramount. I always want that. But hear some godly advice from two couples been married over 60 years. So let's all stand. We have a verse of invitation. Certainly Bible was spoken and Bible truth was spoken. Maybe tonight, husbands and wife, maybe there's something you need to come pray about, however the Lord leads you. And so the hymn, again, is Just As I Am, after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these two examples, wonderful examples of a godly marriage. And I pray, God, that you would just take that message that's been spoken, that testimony that's been spoken, Lord, and use it in our hearts. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as I am.